Thank you for that. Looking forward to that day, being with the Lord. I don't know, do you think of heaven as like a retirement home for all eternity? I'm glad it isn't. It's like, well, I guess, you know, God is the Ancient of Days, so we'll be kind of moving at his speed for the rest of time. It's like, you know, it's like, what? No, my God is as energetic as he ever was, and we'll be moving along at the speed that's appropriate, and it's going to be wonderful and interesting and amazing. Amazing. But until then, let's be faithful. This life is but a vapor. Let's not live this life for me. This is the last chance I have for it to be all about me. Someday it's going to be all about him. So this is the last chance I get to live selfishly. That's an empty way to live this life. Appreciated that offertory too, right? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Amen. And then, of course, that verse, I love Jesus. Does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. Hey! But back and forth, Jesus loves me. I love Jesus. Let's not focus on how much I love him. Let's focus on how much I love him because he loves me. He loves me. Let's get caught up in his love for me and let that be what inspires my love. Let's get caught up in his faithfulness to me and let that be what inspires my faithfulness to him. So I'm glad Jesus loves me. I got a little coloring sheet. So this is from Nathaniel. He ran out of space and had to put the last three letters down below. But he has a picture of the open tomb. Here's the rock and the opening here, and inside is the table there with the grave clothes, and it's empty. And that's because Jesus loved me. He came and he died, and then because he's God, he rose again after paying my sin debt. Amen. The Lord Jesus. What a blessing. I'm glad he loves me. I can enjoy a picture like that and go in there. I got to go to Israel and go in the what may have been the tomb. Gordon's, is that? And go in there and see what a blessing. I'm glad that tomb is empty. My Lord is very much alive. He walks with me and he talks with me each and every day. What a blessing. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101. By the way, because Jesus loves us, because we owe him everything, we should constantly be saying, Lord, am I living a life are you comfortable with where I'm at? Are you comfortable with where I'm at? A lot of believers, well, I'm comfortable with where I'm at, and that's all that matters, right? Have we all been there? And do we see a Christianity in this world that seems to, what in the world? I'm comfortable where I'm at. And that doesn't matter. That does not matter. Is he comfortable with where you're at? Not, I do things and I don't mind. You do things and does he mind? That's what we ought to be asking ourselves. So the psalmist here, Psalm 101, it says a psalm of David under the heading there, the numbers there. Let's read the whole psalm, all eight verses. So brace yourselves. All right, Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. We did some singing tonight, didn't we? That's fun. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. According to who? Him or me? Who gets to decide if my heart is perfect? Is it what I'm comfortable or he's comfortable? Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. it shall not cleave unto me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Boy, sounds like a good psalm for January 1, doesn't it? A lot of I wills, a lot of resolutions in that chapter. It might be good, right? Maybe January 1st every year, pull that out. What are you doing preaching on it on May 25th? I didn't think about it till right now. How wonderful. Maybe we can do it both, January 1 and right now. Lots of resolve in this. You know, resolve, the I wills. There's some other I wills in the Bible, aren't there? Some other famous I wills. There's the I wills of rebellion, the rebellious I wills of the devil. There in Isaiah 14, so we hear the psalmist, he says, I will sing, I will, good things, but we have those, the I wills of rebellion. And the devil gives us those, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? God made you glorious and God made you beautiful, and you turned on the one that gave you everything wonderful. Because you decided you were better than the one that gave you everything. Unfortunately, we see that rebellion in the heart of men. And that's something we have to go to God to help us with. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, he had his I wills of rebellion, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, doesn't matter how the lies you allow to lurk in your heart. Doesn't matter the fairy tales you tell yourself because of the lies that you enjoy. I prefer these lies. Doesn't matter. There's a yet at the end of this passage. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We're familiar with this rebellious resolve. And somebody was saying, somebody that worked with young people for a long time, they said the people that to dress the way they should, when that's such a struggle, and to have such a right, it's such a struggle to have that soft spirit before the correction of authority, a lot of that goes back to listening to the wrong music. That music fills your heart with a rebellious resolve. I will, the same I wills that the devil got in trouble for. That music says you are what matters. What you want is what matters. Don't bend. Don't let anyone tell you what you should be doing. You decide for yourself. Just like Eve at the base of the tree when the devil said, God doesn't want you eating from it. But what do you think? What you think is what matters. And there's a music out there that doesn't soften you toward your mom and dad and your pastor. It doesn't soften you toward what God wants. It fills you with a heart of rebellious resolve, and your I wills are the same as the devil's. And adults, you're no different. Are you careful enough with what you're listening to? The voices that you are tuned to. Hear this king. David's a king, and there's some royal resolve here. So we have the opposite, right? We have rebellious resolve, and we have royal resolve of this king. But I can remind you that if you're saved, you are part of royalty. There in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then, of course, we love this verse in John 1:12, but as many as received him, have you received Christ as your Savior? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. The King of Kings, is he your father? If the King of Kings is your father, then you're a prince. You're royalty. So these royal resolves, they need to be true in our lives as well. There's 9 I wills in these verses and 6 I shalls. Listen to them again. I'll stress them as we go through. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He's the guy I'm going to hire to do a job. He's the guy I'm going to trust to do a job. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Some royal resolve. So we're sinners. The rebellious resolve, until we die, we have to keep an eye on it. But may it be that we're careful to ask God to help us have this royal resolve in our lives. Social media, it's interesting, this new world we're in. I was looking at an article about social media, and it was talking about the social media babies are growing up and they're horrified. Because their whole life, from when they're little and in diapers, it's on the internet for the whole world to see since they were little. It was talking about this one little girl, and mom and dad, and again, I don't recommend, doing too much with Disney, but mom and dad had bought a trip to Disney for this little person and had wrapped a suitcase in a big, in wrapping paper, Christmas wrapping paper. So the kid tore into it and just saw... just saw the suitcase and thought, "Dad, I didn't want a suitcase," and so just erupted, bah! And it was like, "No, you don't understand." And so all this is on video, and we're taking you to Disney, and it didn't matter. That wasn't the dolly that I was hoping for, or the My Little Pony, or whatever it was. And just the fact that is, everyone knows that it's like, "Oh yeah, you saw me going nuts," and the whole world did, my whole life. There for the entire world to see. On May 23rd, there was another article. It was entitled Social Media Risks for Youth Mental Health, highlighted in a new Surgeon General report. So apparently the American Psychological Association was talking about the adverse effects as far as anxiety and depression of social media on young people, and the Surgeon General in viewing this report, the same person that says don't smoke, it's bad for you, he's saying it does not seem safe for your children. The Surgeon General. I'm going to say it too up here, but that's the Surgeon General saying beware the effects of social media. So this article went on to talk about all the anxiety and depression and discrimination that are fostered in that world. And again, anger and anxiety and fear, right? And again, you just shut off, sometimes shut the radio off, and you can just be happy, not knowing you're supposed to be angry. I had no idea I was supposed to be angry. I had no idea I was supposed to be scared to death. I had no idea I was supposed to be depressed. I had no idea I was supposed to be anxious. I was watching a video of this horse. It's called the Gypsy Vanner. The Gypsy Vanner, and it has this mustache. it's funny. And people would groom the mustache into like handlebars. So you see this horse looking at you with this handlebar mustache. And it's just funny. You're looking at that thing and you're joining in with other people, you know, laughing at the horse. And what was interesting, on the video it says this horse, it's a good thing it doesn't have access to Facebook. It has no idea how many people are laughing at it. So it can just go on with its life, enjoying its life, little knowing that it's being mocked and laughed at. And I said, oh my, you know, it's sad that we human beings aren't free to enjoy our lives because we feel we have to be tuned in to everything everyone is saying. I'm afraid to rock any boats because I might draw the attention of somebody. And what will they say? I can't shine for God because what if the wrong person notices me and tears into me on social media? I have news for you. It's happening and will happen. Whose voice are you tuned in to, though? Which voices are affecting what you think and how you live your life? I can't shine for God. What if that person finds out and says something? I was just asking the Lord a while ago. I said, Lord, just would you give me something with the intake of our folks, Lord, just to warn the wrong type of music, sometimes the social media world, videos, the intake of things, Lord. Would you give me something? I need to warn our folks about being tuned in to the wrong voices. The young people don't know this as much, but anyone my age or whatever, y'all remember trying to, you know, scroll through the static to get that channel to come in, right? I guess the young people probably know a little bit of that, possibly. Tuned in to what voices? And if you're tuned into this voice, you're not tuned into that voice. The radio tuned in. What voice are you tuned into? And then what voice are you not tuned into? So this, are you a child of God? Well, then you need to think about these royal resolves that King David said, this will be a part of my life. Are you a child of God? Then tonight, let's say with King David, these need to be a part of my life as well. Let's pray and then we'll look at them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. I pray that tonight you'd help us to be tuned in to the right voices. Lord, I pray that we would be very, very careful about what input the world is allowed to have in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would limit and maximize, or we would maximize, Lord, the input that you have in our life, going to you, being careful, having these royal resolves that King David lays out for us right here. Be with us, Lord, as we look at these things. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So David had royal resolve in the area of praise, is the first one in verse 1. In the area of praise, he had royal resolve. I will sing of the mercy and judgment, of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He was going to sing. And you know, the world has a way of taking away a believer's song. Boy, sometimes it gets you so beat down that the world can flat take your song, and it gives you a different song. a feel-good song, a song of rebellion, a song that helps you forget what's going on and tells you that you're the only one that matters. And we like that lie, but it is a lie. We aren't the only one that matters. The world is working to take away the song of the believer. Being right with God is so thrilling. We have that song, after all he's done for me, after all he's done for me. We've all been there, though, where we're like, after Jesus let me down, after Jesus let me down. Well, I'm unhappy, and it's somebody's fault. It must be his. Why are you unhappy? Has Jesus ever let you down? No. But we let ourselves get to the point where we think he has. Our song is taken from us. The world has taken away our song. Listening to the lies of my own heart has taken away my song. Boy, when you can get back to how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely? After all he's done for me. Won't you resolve in the area of praise to say with the king, because you're a child of the king, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I don't know, do you feel like you're hidden out there sometimes? I look out and I see people whose song is removed. As I'm up here enjoying the hymns and I glance out and I see the person that can't hardly get their mouth to move. Their lips are pursed. And I'm like, oh, man, I love being here. And I love singing these songs. Lord, help that person. They're tuned in to the wrong voices. Please help them, Lord. I'm miserable and it's someone's fault. It's yours. God doesn't want you miserable. He can help you get your song back. Resolve in the area of praise. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Secondly, we have to keep moving. Secondly, he had resolve in the area of perfection. What did the song say? And live for him completely, completely. Not living for him some, but there's parts of my life that I reserve for me. I go through the actions for the glory of God sometimes, but most of my life is for me. Live for him completely, where, Lord, I don't want any area of my life that is not under your control. Can you say that? Lord God up in heaven, I don't want any area of my life free from your control. Does it sound like he's saying that in verse 2? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will behave. Like, behave? That's a word for children. That's a word for children. Now behave. Now behave. Behave, behave, be nice to the babysitter while mommy and daddy go out to eat. Don't tie this one up. Behave. No, this is a king saying that even kings need to behave. Everyone in this room, we all need to learn to behave. I will behave myself in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. My home isn't where I let my hair down spiritually. I don't want there to be any place where I set my Christianity aside. That song is wonderful, isn't it? I want to be more than a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian. I want a religion that thrills me every day. Boy, there was a young man, a college student, that caught me, and we were talking about this and that, and he was saying, "Oh yeah, well, I have social media, but I'm able on my phone. I got someone to help me. I put limits on there, so I'm only allowed this long. That way, I get on there, see how my friends and family are doing, and I get off. It's important to me that I behave. I get off before the worldliness can creep into my soul. I limit it because I want to behave. If the king can say it's important for him to behave, can you say, I need to behave?" Those that spend lots and lots of time in the digital world, just being entertained and listening to this or that. Now, I have lots of digital reading I do. There are good men that write blogs, and you know, Pastor Malinak, I was reading him this morning. I set time aside to get my phone out and read. Ah, you're in the digital world. There's some good stuff in the digital world. But we have got to watch what input we allow it to have. Those that spend a lot of time in digital entertainment, I challenge you to sit down with me and describe the warmth of your walk with God. I mean, TikTok, I don't even following it, and they're making it illegal in some states. Or they're talking about making it illegal. So if people are outlawing it, and there's new social media, like, he hasn't hit my social media platform. I know there's probably a new one every week. I can't. And a lot of them will say, "Hey, get on here. You can hide things from your mom and dad. They'll never know." Young person, can I tell you that as soon as you find a way to hide stuff from your mom and dad, run to them and say, "Ah, help! Help me get rid of this! Help me get rid of this! Ah, help me!" You have a mom and a dad that God gave you to help you. And you're, they don't know. You're so foolish to hide things from the person God gave you to help you. And you say, I win the game. You lose the game. When you win that game, you lose. There's no way around it. Your mom and dad aren't playing games. It's not a game to them. There's a yet at the end of the devil said, I will. And at the end of these verses, there's a yet. Doesn't matter the lies you tell yourself. Yet, God set the record straight at the end. When wilt thou come? The psalmist says, "Oh God, when wilt thou come? When wilt thou come unto me? Oh God, I crave your presence." Behaving. Listen to what it says about David in 1 Samuel 18:30. "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." You're like, "Well, I don't have to behave." Well, here David learned to behave so that his name was much set by. That there's a guy that can behave. There's a guy that I can exalt because he knows how to behave. There's a guy that can be lifted up by God because he knows how to behave. And you say, "Well, I'm too..." Well, you're a guy that God can't lift up. It's okay, I'll lift up myself. Do you not see how foolish that is? Proverbs 16:3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." He said, "I will behave. If you'll commit your works unto the Lord, I will do those things that please God." If you'll commit your works, Proverbs 16:3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord," or in other words, behave, "and thy thoughts shall be established." Does the Bible talk about behaving in the New Testament? There's a pretty famous verse there in 1 Timothy 3:15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Be honest. How much of your thinking is affected by the preaching as opposed to the posting? Genuinely ask yourself, how much of your thinking is affected by the preaching as opposed to the posting? Which are you tuned into? All right. Point number three. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. And again, I know there's fun things. And again, the fellow that said, I get on social media this long to look at my friends and family and I get off. I think you can learn a proper way to do it. Young people, take your time, lots and lots and lots of time before you're jumping on there and deciding that, oh, I can handle this. And then pretty soon you're addicted to the dopamine of whatever, of endlessly scrolling and wasting in the worldliness or whatever. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. As you go, and again, it was a secular person talking about this and that, and he's like, hey, you remember when Instagram, you would go on Instagram to see pictures of food and stuff? Well, not anymore. Everyone knows why you go to Instagram now. And he described all the improper pictures you see. And I know there's pictures that aren't improper. But if the world is saying that, then young man, you need to, I don't need that. I can handle that. These areas that are, if the world is saying everyone knows why you go there now, we need to be very, very, very careful with what we're doing in social media. Can you say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes? Can you say, are you a child of the King? Are you interested in making that statement as a child of the King? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Brother Malinak this morning was talking about the armor of God. Well, I mentioned it a while ago and I just got to the post this morning. But I think of the armor of God when it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus. I think when you put on the Lord Jesus, you're putting on the armor of God. There's very much a link there. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of the city. Because my eye affects my heart and my heart affects everything I do, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It shall not cleave unto me. I hate the work of them that turn aside. There are so many that have turned aside that find their life on social media. And that's the world they thrive in. And instead of hating the work of them that turn aside, we're interested in what those that turn aside have to say. And what they have to say is cleaving to us. And it ought not to be. It says, it shall not cleave unto me. I despise that. I'm going to stay away from it. Ask God to help you with it. There are people that are actively standing against what God is trying to do. Can you truly say, I hate the work of those that stand against what God is doing? Or do you have that, you might as well have the coexist on the back of your shirt, right? Oh, I'm tolerant of everything, even if God isn't. That's the Christianity that's being pushed out there, but that's not the Christianity of this book. God is not tolerant of certain things. He loves everybody. But the psalmist who is in love with God said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. Can you honestly say, I hate the work of them that turn aside? Or do you have to say, I really don't mind the things that God hates? I'm tolerant of the things that God does not tolerate. That's a dangerous place to be. Royal resolve in the area of praise and perfection and purity. How about royal resolve in the area of people? Verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I will not know a wicked person. I will not know a wicked person. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine a while ago, and he was telling me, he said, I got to go to Christian school, this pastor friend of mine. I got to go to Christian school, and there was a bunch of us that came up and kind of graduated, you know, all together, and there were some that stuck with Christ, and there were some that turned their back on God. And he said, we're all kind of on social media, and we're not really all following each other, but we can all kind of see each other. And he said, over time, you're like, it breaks your heart, because the people that turn their back on God, their lives are falling to pieces and they're miserable and they're posting and they're trying to look happy and you can tell they aren't, and their family is in shreds, and you're like, oh Lord, and you kind of pray for them. And the people that followed God, their homes are together and they're happy. And he kind of said, well, I thought, well, hopefully, you know, I can see them, I can pray for them, they can see me, and it will encourage them. But that wasn't what happened. The people that grew up with them started to attack them and invent things against them and go after them, to the point where, he said, we had to go through and block them all, to just go on with life. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense, until you go back to Genesis 4:8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Cain wasn't encouraged by Abel doing right. It enraged him murderously. And we see that still today. This world around us. And again, it seems, but the psalmist all the way back then, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Now, this isn't talking about, that's it, I can't go to soul winning. Because there's unsaved people behind those doors. And it's like, I cannot know a wicked person. And if you're not saved, there's wickedness. You need to get, I will not know a wicked person. That's not what it's saying about. It's saying, it's talking about someone that is set against the things of God. They're not going to be an acquaintance of mine that is allowed a level of influence. Years ago, and again, this is years ago, someone did a study about the pornographic literature sold in the U.S. in 1 year. And according to this report, in the pornographic literature in 1 year, they said, would fill more than 5 Empire State Buildings. And I'm like, what? Now, nowadays, with so much digital, I imagine that's not the case anymore. But I think that's even more scary, because of having to go and dig for filth. Filth comes right to our devices. And if we're not behaving in this area, we're most certainly misbehaving in this area. Men, let's help each other. There's a man in this church that says, hey, pastor, would you check on me? Not a teenager. There's a man in this church that says, hey, pastor, will you check on me periodically to make sure I'm doing my devotions? I think, or do we want a church where we, let's all make believe that we don't have a sin nature and that we're above these things? Or can we say, hey, being right with God is so important. Hey, will you help me in this area? I want to be accountable. Would you help? I want some help. I need some help. Not let's all pretend we're above sin, church. Let's not live a fairy tale life. Somebody, I was talking to Mandy Brader, and she was saying that she heard a sermon, and it helped her. You know, sometimes you got the person that slides. When do you reach out and try to help somebody? And when do you not reach out and try to help somebody? And I think it was someone she was listening to preach, and they said, boy, when the person has given up trying to get up the hill and they're sliding down, their heart is aimed at the sin at the bottom of the hill, and they're sliding full speed down, and you're like, I'm going to help them. And you reach out and grab them, the momentum will carry you both to the bottom of the hill. But if the person is trying to get up the hill, they're set on what's at the top of the hill. And I want that, I'm just struggling. Boy, in that case, they're working their way up and you can say, hey, let me give you a hand. And we've seen enough people reaching out at the wrong time and they're both at the bottom of the hill. And you're warned, like it doesn't matter. I'm not letting that person go without me. For the sake of this friendship, you're going to live at the bottom of the hill. I will not know a wicked person, he says. Verse 5, the area of pride. The area of pride. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, so quietly slandering other people, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. There's a lot of arrogance on social media. People will talk to and about people. I mean, I'm like, who are you? Who are you to say those things? Well, they feel really brave behind a screen and a keyboard. They would never talk that way to you. I remember it was kind of an illustration. Claire and I were knocking doors one time. We were at this trailer court. I think it was in Portage. And we're knocking. And there was people, you know, you could hear people carousing inside. And it was like, who's at the door? And so Claire is with me. And we're like, I'm like, here, Claire, you do the talking. No. And I said, I'm Jeremiah Mitchell. I'm here with my little daughter, Claire. We're just out from Fairhaven. Wanted to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. Invite you out to church. Want to make sure you have a home in heaven. And with the door shut, they started mocking and ridiculing and laughing and screaming through the door. I'm like, have a nice day. So we went. We worked our way down the one side, crossed over, and came all the way back to where the car was. And by that time, the door was open, and they were out in the lawn. So then I walked over, and I'm like, hey, guys, I was the one that was bothering you guys earlier. that was me at the door earlier. I just we really couldn't hear each other through the door. But hey, I just wanted to, what I was saying, and like, oh yeah, no way. Okay, well, thank you. Uh-huh. People are different behind a door, behind a screen. And it doesn't excuse this, it's this make-believe where I can be dishonest and filthy. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Psalm 94, verses 4 through 7. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. God doesn't see. God doesn't care. Slander, gossip, and lies, inquiring minds want to know. Inquiring minds have to know. We're addicted to those things. David said, I will not allow around me those that are tolerant of those things that God is not tolerant of. I love and respect him enough to beg him to help me to love the things that he loves and hate the things that he hates. Verse 6, royal resolve in the area of perspective. I will not set a wicked thing before mine eyes. Earlier he said, but what is he going to set in front of his eyes? In verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. That's the guy I'm going to hire. I'm going to find the person who is where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm going to lock my eyes on that. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me, reside with me. I want steady, good, faithful people around me. He wanted men of integrity around him. And keep in mind, you don't have to invite people into your house to invite people into your house. They can come and write in through your television, computer, device. They can be right there in your home. Someone that you would never have in your home is right there in your home. Verse 7, he was going to have resolve in the area of his personal life. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Once I know this person's a liar, it's shut off. They're done. They're done. Once I know this person is not interested in truth, they're done. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Lying has been, it's become a social norm in this world around us. As soon as we find out that some news feed has promoted some political lie or one of their own, by the time we figure out that was a lie, well, they're on to the next lie. By the time you figure out that the last lie wasn't true. And do we as Americans say, well, that's it. I'm not listening anymore. No, we're intrigued by the new lie. Often we don't have enough sense to turn from the next lie because the old one was proven false. I mean, look at evolution. People love a lie as long as it fits what's in their heart. Evolution says there's no God for you to answer to. I like that. The teller of lies was going to have no place near David. And then verse 8, he had some resolve in the area of his public life. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. Now, he was the king. He could. It was different. You and I can't, you know, do quite the same things David could in his land. But he, what is he saying? He's going to use his influence to take away the power of attention, power of influence that anyone has on his life. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. He was determined to use what power he had to purge evil out of his land. Moms, dads, are you doing all you can to make sure evil does not have a place in your home? Is there an area of these royal resolves that you need to be more careful with? Teenager, are you doing all you can to make sure evil doesn't have a place in your heart, in your life? The temptation is, I can handle it, just like Samson. Just like Samson, he could handle it. And he truly was physically the strongest man to ever be. and he ends his life blinded and bound and burdened by the slavery of the enemy, and then buried in the rubble that took his life. The heart of Samson that says, I can play with sin. These royal resolves. We have the rebellious resolves of the devil. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain. I will, yet. Doesn't matter what fairy tales you tell yourself. They're fairy tales. There's a yet at the end of this passage. It doesn't work out well for you. But then we have these royal resolves that David is still excited that he made a part of his life. In the area of praise, the world can't take away my song. Perfection, I will behave. Purity, I will set no wicked thing. People, I will not know a wicked person. Pride, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Perspective, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. His personal life, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. His public life, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Royal resolve. Are you a child of the king? Let's get some royal resolve like David taught us this tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you be with this lesson. Lord, I pray that you would have worked in hearts. Lord, be with our church. Be with our church. Lord, help us to be pure. Help us to be clean. Help us to be tuned in to the right things. Lord, your word is so precious. I pray, Lord, that you would have, your Holy Spirit would have made clear any rebellious resolve that's lurking in our lives, and we would make that right tonight. And may it be, Lord, that we would say, I need some of that royal resolve. God, there's some areas that I need your help with. Help us with these things tonight. Be with our church. Help us, oh God. And may we say, like the psalmist, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? And the answer just might be, as soon as you get serious about some of these royal resolves. Be with this time of invitation. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.